Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
I don't know why this happens to me, but every time you ask me to preach on a Sunday morning, I find myself spending all Saturday either learning a lesson or asking God to help me preach what he wants me to preach. So we go through Saturday. I wake up at 11 like any real American would do. It's the best sleep of my life. And I get up, I eat breakfast, and I stare at the TV, see my kids running around. Then all day, I'm like, man, I can't preach from my cell phone again because it looks awkward if I'm sitting here with my iPhone, like, turn your Bibles to John. It looks like I'm Facebooking. So I searched for an iPad yesterday. Then I go to Kobe's party yesterday. And then I find myself at 10 o'clock in front of my computer playing music and asking the Lord, Lord, I need this kind of now because it's late and I'm tired. And I finished at 1. And I wanted to talk about a topic. I read these verses in John. We're going to go into 1 Samuel, so you can turn there now. This is prefacing that. We're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read an old story together that we heard our whole life. But I wanted to read John 1, 5 to 3 again, and then we'll pray, because I want you guys to know one thing. And the Bible says, it says here, for the love of God that we keep, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 17. Father God, we're grateful that you died on the cross for our sins. Father, I probably shouldn't have drunk that soda, but I pray that you'll calm my spirits, Lord, and preach what you have me to preach. Lord, we're grateful that we're able to come to church freely, open your word freely. Lord, that you died for us, that you gave us hope. Lord, but it's hard sometimes to live for you. Pray, Lord, that you'll help our minds be at ease. Help us put away the world for a minute, God, and just hear what the Bible says. Father God, I pray that you'll be with those traveling back from Wyoming, Lord. I pray for those that are sick, those that are in hospitals, Lord. Those are still trying to recover, God, that you'll touch them. Lord, thank you for your grace. We love you, Lord, and we ask to pray in your name. Amen. All right, so if any of you are familiar with Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel 17, it's the story about Goliath. Story about Goliath. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, we'll go to 1 and we'll read to 29, we'll talk, and then we'll read the rest of it. And I want you guys to know that the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. Yes, we've heard the story of Goliath many times. Yes, we know that's a staple, right? David beats Goliath. Look, I spoiled it for you guys. If you didn't read it before, it happens. He beats Goliath. The little kid, he's like Dawson's age. He beats Goliath. But here's what the Bible says. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah. And if I can't say these words right, I speak Spanish and English, and it's broken, both of them. And Saul, the men of Israel, were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side. And Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits. And a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with with coat of mail, and weight of coat of was 5,000 shekels of brass, and had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. I don't know how much weight that is. I don't know if it was me. That's a lot of weight. But the dude was carrying a lot of weight. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the enemies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I a Philistine and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. He's like, dude, I'm ready to fight. He goes on and he says, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day, and give me a man that we may fight together. Then Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistines, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And David was a son of of Bethlehem of Judea, whose name was of Jesse, and he had eight sons. And the men went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And the names of his sons that went with him to battle were Eliab and the firstborn, and next unto him was Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented themselves 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captains of the 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. And all the men of Israel went to Valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, and the army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, ran into the army, came and saluted his brethren, and he talked with them. Behold, there came up a champion, the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, and out of the armies of the Philistines of spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel went, and they saw the men flee from him, and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? It's come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king shall enrich him with great riches, and give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done of the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this of circumcised Philistine, that he shall defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Eliab, the oldest elder brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness and of thine heart, and thou art come down, and thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? We're going to stop there, and I got a question for you guys. We're going to go over what's going on. There's a battle happening in Israel. There's a guy that comes out that he looks swole. That means big. He's ready for war. They're scared. There's this little kid. Goes down. He wants to know he's interested. He wants to know, who is this guy? And his brother gets mad at him and says, hey, David, why are you here? Why aren't you with the sheep? He says, why do you need to know about these things? And David asked him a question. He said, is there not a cause? My question for you is this. Are you running towards your giant? Well, what's that mean? Well, good question. Are you running towards the problems that you're faced with today? Or are you using the excuse of staying with your sheep to not face the problems that are in your way? Are you facing that giant of adversity? It's a scary one, guys. It's scary. You find yourself in a position where you feel like you're not able to overcome that fear you have in your life. You're not able to stand up for Jesus when he needs you to stand up. You're not able to do what's right when you're supposed to do right. We're faced with a giant in our life every day. So my question to you is, are you running toward the giant of your adversity? I can't. It's the first things we say, I can't. I can't. I can't seem to do it. I'm nervous. We don't know the whys. We don't know the what ifs in our life. We don't know the what's going to happen if I do this, if I stand up and do right. What's going to happen if I take a step back and let God work in my life? That's a big what if you don't want to miss. This kid, if you saw Pee Wee Dawson, it's like him running towards two of me, but way stronger and prettier. And he's not afraid. Because he knew. He said, who will defy? Who will defy the army of God? He knew his position. My question, brethren, is the same question I've been asking myself for the last 3 years. What are the giants in my life that I am running away from? And what am I running toward? Because there's a battle we face daily. And you know what that battle is? Sin. Sin. Oh, this guy's preaching sin again. Okay, until we die and go to heaven, that's the same condition we're in. Oh, he doesn't know what I'm going through. Okay, we've all lost people. I've seen people get shot. I've seen a poverty. I've been poor. I've been bankrupt. I've been there. I have problems just like you guys. What I've learned through my journey in my Christian life is that every year the Lord allows me to see more like him and be faithful to him. So that when that giant does pop up, I'm not one to say I'm staying with the sheep. I'm running towards the problem. Knowing that God is running in front of me. Are you facing your giants? And no, I'm not talking about the movie, even though it's cool. Are you over... Look. The last year... This last year has been a game changer. The Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. That never happens. No, but to be serious, we lost Eric and Lauren in a tragic accident. Brother Wayne was in the hospital. We didn't know he was going to make it. Miss Jofin's in the hospital fighting for her life. It's been a heavy year. It's been daunting to want to do right because it looks like the closer you get to God, the more problems you have. Who feels that way? Every time you get up, every time you read your Bible, you pray, you want to help somebody, you want to live for God, every time you get closer to wanting to do what he wants you to do, you're hit with the bus of issues. I read to you in 1 John, he said, who is he that overcometh the world? Wait, there's more. There's a comma, so that means keep reading. But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. See, the cool thing about our God is that he does not give us a giant that we can't handle. Yes, it's hard. Yes. Yes, the issue never doesn't seem to go away. Yes, you feel like you're consumed with the everyday struggle. You're consumed with all the problems. But what he's looking for is if we're willing to be in the valley and we're willing to see that God is standing for us. We're standing up because of him. Because what he's done for us. Don't use the sheep. Don't use your kids as an excuse. Don't use your job as an excuse. Don't use your marriage as an excuse not to serve God. You fight for that. Do you understand me? I fight. I wake up. I go to work. I pay the bills so my family can live comfortably. The same thing with my Christian life. I do right. I say the right things. I try to read my Bible. I try to tell people about Jesus so my kids can see that I'm living a life how God wants me to live. I never use them as an occasion of an excuse. I fight for them. I want them to see what I didn't see growing up, that mommy and daddy love each other. I want them to see that they have a home where they could be open and be loved. And yes, we're going to spank you, but we're going to hug you and tell you we love you. I want them to see that the Word of God is real. That when there's problems in my life, that I get on my knees and I'm like, Lord, I need you. And they see that. This Christian life that we're fighting isn't just for yourself, my friend. It is so that people around you that don't know Jesus can see that it is real. Because think about it. The story of David. Yes, we heard it our whole life. The story of David is this. A little boy, like Dawson. Now, if you know Dawson, you can see him. Where's he at? Dawson, stand up, dude. This is Dawson, everybody. A little boy like Dawson could stand up in front of a nation, stand in the valley, and say, I will do right. I will fight the battle. Because there is, whatever you want to call it, there's people watching you. Katie made a good point this morning. It's hard to serve God because when you serve God, people are putting you under the microscope. Oh, you did that. Oh, Debbie. Did you? Send as best as I can. So what? You're getting judged because they don't want to live like you live. You're getting judged because they don't know what it is to be renewed. It's an exciting thing. Let them watch you. Good. You can see how I love my husband. Not that I have a husband, I have a wife. That's weird. Let them see how you treat your friends. Try me. But guess what? You will fall. You will sin. You will say the wrong things. You will do the wrong things. Sometimes you act up when you shouldn't act up. You get hurt feelings because you know what we have? We have a condition called sin. And the only way we get rid of that condition daily is to die to self and ask God to help us. But you're still a sinner because you're not dead yet. Oops. Let them watch you. Good. Let them see you read your Bible. Good. Let them help see you help your neighbor. Great. Let them see you tell somebody about Jesus. They won't write about that. I bet you $5. Of course they're watching us. They want us to fail. Can you imagine all the people watching Dawson? Well, David, not Dawson. Cool. You're David now, buddy. All right. People watching David. When he's going down, he says, they're not cause. Can you imagine the men around him, the great men that were wearing armor, the great men that were ready for this war? They're sitting around, they go, is there not a cause? A little kid. The story goes on. I want you to know that he didn't use his sheep as an occasion to say, I cannot go. I cannot serve God. No. Think about this, guys. Think about this. If I was a shepherd, the most important thing to me is my flock. I have a family. The most important thing is to me is my family. So do my two girls see daddy, love my wife, read my Bible, and pray. When daddy gets hit with a bill he can't pay, do they see us cry? Oh my gosh, how are we going to do it? Or they see us get on our knees and be like, Lord, we got to give it to you. Are you running toward your giant this morning? And it's different for everybody. I want to tell you guys a story. There's the Thames flowing through London was at low tide, causing the freighter to be anchored at a distance from shore. The long plank, which led from the ships across the mud flats to the bank, suddenly began to jiggle precariously. The smallest man, who was carefully pushing his barrel across this plank from the freighter to the shore, lost his balance and found himself tumbling in the muddy waters. A roar of laughter erupted from the dockers, from the tall man who was on board the ship shaking and jiggling the plank. The mudded man's instinct's reaction was to get angry. The fall was painful. He was dripping wet, knee deep in muck. And then he heard a voice. This is your opportunity. The victim unknown to all his tormentors was a pastor disguised as a doctor in hopes of getting to know how the doctors felt, lived, and struggled. Perhaps as he gained their confidence and made friends, he could tell them of the love of the Savior who died for him. What's the point of that story? We're in the world every day. Every day. You will get laughed at if you live right. You will get told you will get mocked. They will look at you weird. You'll say, praise God. And they'll be like, what? That's not Bitcoin. They will talk about your family. They don't like your values. But yet, every day you're fighting a battle that's not for you. It's to tell something about Jesus. If you lose, you're cool. If you get upset, if you get mad, it's normal to get mad. I get mad all the time. But there are people watching you, watching to see how you're going to react. And some of them don't know if you're a Christian or not. So this is your chance. This is your chance to stand up. This is your chance to live right. It's your chance to run towards the giant. All right, I got to be strong, equal. I got to equalize myself every day. You don't know who's watching you. What they expect from you. Like I said, some of them are your friends. Some of them don't even know you're saved. So my question to you is, how do you react in the face of mockery? Jesus Christ was getting hit in the face. Jesus Christ got spat on. They put a blanket. Look, you know how this is savage. They put a blanket over his face and punched him. He didn't even know who was hitting him. And yet he died on the cross so that way, one day when we accepted him, we could go to heaven. Didn't cry. He didn't yell back. He didn't say anything back. They punched him. They beat him. They spit in his face. And all he's asking for us, from us, is that we stand up and live for him. Think about that. Our Savior took a beating for you. Bled. And after they took the cat of nine tails and they tore his body apart, they required that he carry his cross. Think about the love that he had for us. Think about the one you love. Think about your dad or your mom taking a beating for you and not saying anything. That's how I feel every time I think about that. That he loved me so much that he took a beating from me. He took his body being ripped apart from me. He died on the cross for me. And if you could believe that he did that for you, which is true, why can't you believe that he's fighting this giant with you? He would never leave you or forsake you. He has overcome the world. Makes me cry because I think about a man that he knew me. I didn't know him, but he died for me. So I could stand up at work and be myself and know that he loves me and know that I'm a Christian and I don't care what they think. So I could raise my kids in a home that we do say, God, we love you. We do say, Lord, we need you. We do pray over our food. How dumb it may be at a restaurant when you look around embarrassed. He fought for my freedom. Got a verse I want to share with you guys. 2 Corinthians, if you turn your Bible there. 2 Corinthians, we're going to go to chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Turn your phones to... No, I'm kidding. Soon, 2015. No, that was already gone. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We go on to read in Philippians. What's cool about God is that He gives us verses for every scenario. You want to give an excuse not to eat bread or chicken or meat? Just go to the Old Testament where they killed them for eating quail. Jokes. That was a different story. But He gives us verses on how to overcome the world. He gives us verses on how to be strong. He gives us verses even in the Old Testament where He says, and be courageous. He gives us verses in the Bible where it talks about David, and we think of it as a story, but it's a lesson that there's a boy who's willing to stand up in front of a field of giants, and he says, I'm going to be the one running towards it. See, but the story doesn't end there. See, we hear that he had a cause. We're going to read the rest of it. But I want you guys to know that we live in a day and age where we're scared. Yes, good. Good, because fear should lead you to Christ and have Him use you. Have Him be that shield for you. We'll keep reading here. We're going to keep going. We ended at verse 29. We're going to keep going forward. 29, verse 30 says, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they reversed them before Saul and sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Wow. A little kid saying, hey, don't let your heart fail because of him. In verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistines, to fight with him, for thou art but a young, and he a man of war from his young age, from his youth. I'm going to read that again. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistines. And let me tell you, Christian, don't let anybody ever tell you you can't. Don't let anybody tell you you can't live for him. You can't read your Bible. You can't do what's right. Because guess what? You can. The question is, are you going to do it by yourself? Or are you going to ask God to help you do it? That's the question. David answered like this. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail. Oh, I already read that like four times. All right, 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servants kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said more of the Lord that delivereth me out of the paws of the lion and the paws of the bear will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine. Think about that, guys. Think about that. Before he got faced with the insurmountable obstacle, he had little things in his life that he was able to overcome with God. Think about that for a second. Think about it. Every day you're faced with an issue, small or large. There's going to be a day where you're going to feel like the thing you're going up against, you're not prepared for. David remembered what God did for him against the lion, against the bear. And he told Saul, he grabbed him by his beard, which I'm like, dude, you are savage. Because last time I seen a lion was by a fence and I was like 50 feet away. Now he's faced with a giant. And he remembered everything that the Lord did for him up to this point. Remember that. What has he done for you? What are the small wins in your life? What has he done for you? What kind of things has he helped you overcome? What kind of things did he take away from you? What kind of things did he see people around your life that you've been praying for that he answered prayer? Remember the things that he's done for you, the prayers he answered. Remember the times of sorrow that he helped you get through it. That's the same God that's going to help you fight the giant. He's prepared us day by day. He never gives us anything that we can't overcome. We'll keep reading here. It's a cool story, dude. Cool story. All right. So, 37, he tells him, hey, dude, I fought all these lions and tigers and bears on mine. And then, 38, and Saul armed David with his armor. He put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded up his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David took them off. I didn't pull them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had. Even in a scrip and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistines came on and drew near unto him. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistines said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the fields. Then David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Pretty epic story, huh? He didn't use another man's armor. He didn't use another man's sword. He didn't use his whatever he put on him. He used what he had. And he found rocks. There is no silver bullet to living a Christian life. You use what you got. If God has given you the ability to speak in front of people, use it. If God has given you the ability to cook, use it. To play golf, to teach somebody, to be a testimony to them, use it. If God has given you the ability to love, use it. My question still stands. Are you going to run towards your giant? See, the story is epic in a way that he said, I will do it because God will deliver it. He said, I will slay this giant because he will. See, never once did he say, I'm going to destroy you. God was first. You give credit to God because he will get you through it. I'm not here today because of my own self. I'm here today because God saw it fit to have a man who was of... All right, I'm going to tell you, Brother Jeff. I got to tell you about this guy. And I will tell you this guy's name until I die. He reminded me of Brother Murray, but way fat. He came into my neck of the woods, and this man should have not been in my town. He knocked on my door. Hey, my name's Brother Jeff with Brushard Baptist. We're here to pick up your boys. My dad's like, no, you're not. My mom's like, let him go. Brother Jeff, when we left Florida, Brother Jeff was the one I called when my friend got shot. He got me a plane ticket. He wrote a letter to the Christian college and said that I was going to his church as a pastor. So he lied. Yeah, he lied. He told him, write this so you could get in. He brought me my first suit. He didn't see a broken vessel. He saw that God could use me. I got saved at Christian College at 22. It took 9 years for him to chip away all the garbage that I had in my life. That song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, but he's still working on me. That still stands today. But to this day, I remember what he did for me, and God used him to be an impact in my life. He used him to take me out of the city. God used him. What if God chose, what if he chose not to listen? What if he chose not to live the life? He never asked me to pay him back. To this day, he'll say something on Facebook. I know you're serving God. Bye. Never once. Whatever you have, whatever gift you have, whatever ability you have, make sure that you're using it for God. So, we move on with this. Okay, the Bible says here, you're going to stand in between, you're going to stand in the valley, you're going to stand in front of people, you're going to stand against your giant. He says here, in Proverbs 24:10, this is how cool God is, right? He says, if thou faints in a day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, why is God saying this? Because if you faint. But there's a verse in the Bible that says that he shall mount you up like eagles. He shall give you strength. He said, you shall run and not be weary. If you do it in God, if you do it with him, you're able to overcome the world. Christian, don't fall into the gap that you could do it in your own power. It's a lie. It's a lie. I didn't overcome drugs by my own. I can't wait to stop. I had to beg God to take that away from me. I had to beg God to keep my mind from seeing all this stuff and to pray and read my Bible to help him wash this all away. Only God could help you through that. But then what's cool about this is that he gives you not only him, not only the word of God, he gives you a person in your life, people in your life that are like-minded, that when you go through something that they've been through, they're there to encourage you. That they're there to help you run this race. We're all facing a giant. The question is, are you going to do it alone? David's still with God. He was, if you say, he was the first one to slay giants. And then if you read on, everybody decided, I'm going to kill a giant. David was the first one to stand up to kill his giant. You read the rest of the Bible, somebody else killed a giant, somebody else killed a giant. It got to the point like when Hussein Bolt started running the mile in 4 minutes and 20 seconds or 10 seconds, everybody and their mom started doing it. So you're not even like, oh, cool. It's normal. Oh, you can run the mile. Not me. No, look at this. Probably 30 minutes. If I take my car, 2 minutes. It was already done. This is not new. The giants have been, they've been killing giants for centuries. Right? You're not the only one facing the giants of adversity in your life. You're not alone. Continue here. All right, so 1 Peter 4:12-13. 1 Peter 4:12-13 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Psalms 34:19 says, Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Didn't say some of it. Didn't say not that. It said all. Psalms 34:19 says, Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all. Do you believe? He didn't say some. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say, okay, well, ... It's not et cetera. He said all of it. Everything. But rejoice. Look, I'm not done. See, he thought it was finished. The rest of that. But rejoice in as much as are ye partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's kind of weird. Why would I be happy going through tribulations? Because you know that God is going to help you through it. You know that he's going to take it from you. You know that when you can't no more, he's going to be like your dad did when you were a little kid and scraped your knees. He'll tell you first, suck it up. But then he hugs you. He takes the dirt off. He puts some dirt back on to stop the bleeding. Why they did that, I don't get it. And he tells you it's going to be okay. So, are we going to continue to face our giant adversity this morning? The giants in our lives that are keeping us from being dedicated to what God has for us. I want to read a poem to you. I didn't write it. I stole it. Well, if it's anonymous, is it really stealing? All right, cool. It says anonymous, so. It says here, Lord, I never moved a mountain, and I guess I never will. All the faith that I could muster wouldn't move a small anthill. Yet I'll tell you, Lord, I'm grateful for the joy of knowing thee. For all the mountain moving down through life you've done for me. When I needed some help, you lifted me from the depths of the great despair. And when burdens, pain, and sorrow have been more than I could bear. You also been my courage to restore life's troubled sea and to move these little mountains that have looked so big to me. Many times when I've had problems and when bills I've had to pay and the worries and the heartaches just kept mounting every day. Lord, I don't know how you did it. Can't explain the where's or why's. All I know, I've seen these mountains turn to blessings in disguise. No, I've never moved the mountain, for my faith is far too small. Yet I thank you, Lord of heaven, you've always heard my call. And as long as there's are mountains in my life, I have no fear. For the mountain moving Jesus is my strength and always near. Wow. Whoever wrote that, he should put his name on it, because he could have sold it. Jesus is a mountain moving. He's in the mountain moving business. He's in a giant moving business. I'm going to end with a couple things. See, every time I preach, it's like 20 minutes, we're done. No worries. You'll make it to Burger King. All right. So we have strength through him. There's one last piece to this. You have to have trust in him. Keep reading a couple of verses to you in Psalms chapter 56. I will always encourage you to turn there, because I never want to take the Bible out of contents. I'm not in the business of rewriting it to fit my needs. So if you have a Bible, if you do me the favor of turning to Psalms chapter 56. Psalms chapter 56. I should turn there too. iPad. Does anybody know where Psalms is at? Because my Bible app doesn't tell me. All right, cool. Psalms chapter 56. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what the flesh can do unto me. Putting your trust in God. Putting your trust in God. It's the trust, it's the belief, it's the faith, it's the understanding that God, in all his greatness, he's got you. He has your back. He shall never leave you or forsake you. Please note that the giants in your life are not there to intimidate you. They're there so that when you face them, you get on your knees and like, Lord, I need you. You need him. You can't live this world by yourself. It's too yucky. That's a kid word for you. It's boo-boo, naughty, poo-poo. The world we live in is a mess. I read on my app, I shouldn't do this. I look at CNN, I'm reading all this politics. I have to go wash myself because I get angry. Then I see, oops, something comes up on my phone. There's a shooting in high school. Some parents didn't expect their kids to get shot at a high school. We live in a world that's a mess. That needs a light. That's looking for hope. What if somebody would have stepped up and saw this kid in his face? Because you could tell when somebody's going through something. And say, hey man, I don't know you. Can I help you do anything? We have to trust in him. But please note that not only are we trusting, we have to be able to work. Love is an action word. Do you know this? He loved us, so he died for us. Put action into it. People need to know that God is real. People are watching. I'll end it with this last poem. Look, I love poems, okay? All right, this is the second one I read last night. Maybe it's because I was emotional because the music I was playing, but cool. Poem, also anonymous. Trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him. He is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. If you believe in that, say amen, because it's true. Trust him. I'll leave you with this Bible verse and we're done. Psalms 37:5, if you turn there, please. Verse 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
Thank you for studying God's word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.